Now entering the Lucid Life Vibes portal, opening the gateway, the door, the entrance to this podcast, this thought experiment about the Mandela effect. And you are going to be a part of the conversation. That's right. We're having a conversation in this podcast, and we want you to be a part of it. And by we, I mean my husband's back. Mike, welcome back.
Hello, hello.
We are so excited to open this conversation with everyone about the Mandela effect. What is the Mandela effect? What is going on? And examples of the Mandela effect. So let's dive deep, but let's also go higher into all the perspectives. And that's why I have my husband here. He's a life path number 11. He can see all the perspectives, all the angles, and he is a master researcher. Talk about a seeker. It's amazing. He finds out all the information and then gets back to the root origin of things. So he's going to be here to guide us through the wisdom and knowledge and sharing dates and all the research around the Mandela effect. However, we have examples of the Mandela effect, and I even have a couple of pictures of the Mandela effect. There was one in real time in 2015 that I personally experienced, and I saw it happen in real time, and I have a photo, not necessarily to prove it, but to show what I experienced. And it does show you, well, it'll show you the story that I share in this podcast of one of many Mandela effects. So we want to hear from you over on X, which is the new Twitter. Twitter doesn't even exist anymore. It's x.com. I am Lucid Life Vibes everywhere. I hope you'll join me in this conversation, but also my husband, Mike, is over on X at OG Mikey Mack. That's OG Mikey Mack. OG Mikey Mack. We would love to hear from you over on X or on Patreon. We have a Patreon community. There's an 1111 membership portal, and we have some amazing conversations. So you can even share photos there in the community chat. Or we would love to hear from you on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this podcast on. So drop us a note, send us an X. We want to hear from you about what you feel the Mandela effect is, or one that you personally have experienced. So without further ado, Mike, enlighten us. What is the Mandela effect?
So the Mandela effect was first coined in the year 2009 by a researcher. Her name was Fiona Broome, B-R-O-O-M-E, in case you want to look her up. She was sharing her thoughts on the death of Nelson Mandela in 1980 while he was in prison. And that's not the story a lot of us know. But it turns out that's the story a lot of people do know. So I think this is where it has arisen from, aka the Mandela effect, was there was a mass remembering of Mandela dying in prison in 1980. And he actually died in 2013. So that's where the split begins.
So she became aware of her memory or her remembering of him not being what she thought it was in 2009, and he was currently still alive.
Absolutely.
It didn't pass until 2013. Okay, so here is our personal story with the Mandela effect. In 2009, 2010, right around the time that this really started coming to the surface and people started talking about it, we had left the church. We had left religion. We had followed Jesus even out of the church and Christianity. And many of our friends had as well, and people that we knew. And it was this massive kind of awakening to, wait, there's way more going on. And so many of us were seekers and wanted to know. And we kept meeting on Sundays. So we kept having Sunday church as we were all leaving church buildings and leaving religion and breaking through or breaking free. And we were still gathering and we were the church. We had become the church. And that's really what the church is, the people. So we continued to gather, and the Mandela effect came forward in one of these Sunday churches. And right around the same time, I mean, it had to have been 2009, 2010, and we had some friends that would talk about it. And as we were discussing it, I was the one sitting at the table that Sunday as we were all gathered. I mean, the kids would play. We would all gather and chat, the adults, and move from home to home on Sundays. And I was the one person at the gathering that felt Nelson Mandela had died in prison in 1980. I had remembered exactly what this person who brought forward the Mandela effect remembered. I remember sitting at one of these Sunday churches at a friend's home and them talking about the Nelson Mandela effect. And I'm like, oh, he died. And they're like, no, he's very much alive. And I think I was the only one there at the time that thought he had died. But we in real time, as we were discussing it, could see who at the table, who in the conversation remembered him passing in the 80s and who did not. Now, I will admit, we were all different ages gathered. I mean, we're Gen Xers. We were with some millennials as well, people younger than us. Mm-hmm. And they may not have remembered Nelson Mandela in the 80s. So their memory could be very different from ours. Well, just based on your life experience.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I wanted to say was this isn't just a remembering of an event. Like, oh, I remember this, and oh, no, I remember this. It's the people who remember him dying in 1980 remember exact news broadcasts.
Oh, yes.
They remember very specific pictures and things of that nature. So there's
something unique about the Mandela effect, right, that we are recalling actual, again, written, visual. We experienced whatever it is. So let's just talk about a few things that about the Mandela effect that maybe aren't the Mandela effect, right? Like, let's kind of open the spectrum here because, you know, humans can absolutely believe a lie, right? Like if you repeat a lie enough, you begin to believe it. I mean, I have known many people in my life. I mean, one of my parents growing up, they kept telling stories that were not true. And then it just became true to them. But we knew it wasn't true. I mean, they would tell stories of an event that we were there. It didn't happen that way. So do some people create a false narrative? Do they believe that false narrative? Yes. I mean, you and I, you're going to know exactly who I'm talking about. We had a family member that was just a perpetual liar. Like this person would lie about the color of the sky. Like it was crazy. Like what they
were.
And there was no reason to lie about the things this person would lie about. And what was funny is we would all just kind of compare notes, not to catch this person in a lie, but just like tell a story or whatever, being family. And we all start realizing this person is constantly lying. And then they believe their own lies. And so at some point, none of us believed anything this person said, like at all. Because they would not tell the truth. They repeated lies and believe their own lies. So when we're talking about the Mandela effect, that's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about actually somebody having a physical thing in their hand or witnessing or reading or watching. And then later, it's not that. It's something different. or an altered version of it. So let's talk about the book, the children's book, because we have this children's book.
Oh yeah. For me, that's one of the big ones. That's one that I can picture in my head as a child, like the discussions of, is it Berenstain? Is it Berenstain? Is it, like, how are you supposed to say that E-I in the name Steen or Stein? And to find out later.
We're talking about the book, the Berenstain Bears. What is it?
The Berenstain? Yeah, the Berenstain Bears collection.
The book. Okay, so we have this book, and our book is from 1992. Now, I put this book over on X and on Patreon for you guys to see. It's the kite.
It's the red kite, right?
Big red kite. So our book is copyright 1992. So you would have been 17 in 1992. We're Gen Xers. We were born in the early 70s. And I'm just slightly older than him, just slightly. So I graduated from high school in 1992, but our book was a book that I got for our son, who is an adult now. He's in his early 20s. And so it was his book. This isn't a book from our childhood. So the copyright of our current book is 1992, and it has the spelling with the A, S-T-A-I-N.
Berenstain Bears.
And so Mike, born in the 70s, his childhood before 1992, before this copy of this book I have, he remembers it as the E.
E-I-N, not A-I-N.
So this is a Mandela effect over the spelling of the series of children's books. And it wasn't just children's books. These are children's reader books. And many of us know these. And so for Mike, he was a big reader. I mean, this guy, one of the most, if not the most intelligent person I've ever known. This guy was out reading everybody in school. He was always years before where he was in school. His reading ability was astounding at his age, from a very early age. And so this is one of those Mandela effects for him, his childhood, that he specifically remembers and has told me stories over and over again of the spelling of this book. And I wish that we had a copy of this book, The Big Red Kite, or any of the series of the Bear books, before 1992. So if my book in 1992 that we read to our son, I probably got it at a garage sale, estate sale, or a resale shop or something, because he was born in 2001. So at some point, this Mandela effect, this change in the name of the book would have happened sometime in the late 80s. Early 90s.
Or did it happen in real time once you heard that the name was different than what you remember it being? That's another angle.
It is another angle. So that brings us to all the movie lines, right?
Oh, yeah. Tons of movie lines.
So this could be a thing with the movie. I mean, maybe some of us are not remembering correctly, and maybe we're mixing the memory of like one-liners with other movie one-liners. I mean, there could be all sorts of combinations. So when we talk about the Mandela effect, you know, what is going on with that? Is it a timeline change? Has something really changed? Has the spelling changed? Right? Did Nelson Mandela really die in the 80s and then again in 2013? Well, now we're in a whole other conversation, right? I mean, is there something going on with timelines? Is this a CERN conversation where something with CERN and portals, doorways, gateways are open to change timelines, to change a name of a book, to change that consciousness? I mean, I'm just throwing out these questions as we move forward, because I think the movie lines are an interesting topic.
The movie Casablanca, I've never seen it. You've seen
it? I have. I do know Casablanca very well, actually.
I've never seen it, but it's a really great example of how a Mandela effect could look like something crazy when probably it's not. There's a famous line that most people remember in that movie. Play it again, Sam.
Play it again, Sam.
He doesn't say that. There's no mention of those in that movie. Rewatch it again. You'll see. But there was another show that came out right after that, another movie called Play It Again, Sam, that was based off of Casablanca. So, is that where that comes in? Most likely, in my mind anyways.
So, what's the mirror, mirror on the wall? That's one. And also the Star Wars, Luke, I am your father, Luke. So, what... Go through this with us.
Well, the biggest one is Star Wars for me. I mean, you can go back and listen to James Earl Jones as Darth Vader re-saying this line on TV, on TV
in
shows.
In interviews,
yeah, everywhere.
Okay, so tell us what it is. Say the lines.
So arguably the most famous line in all of Star Wars movies would be, Luke, I am your father.
So well
horrible.
Done.
I think that was horrible.
No, that was so well done. Luke, I am your father.
Yeah.
And what did they say it is?
He never says Luke. He just says, no, I am your father.
Oh, so no Luke, just no, I am your father.
But.
So here's a unique thing. Mike and I have clearly probably many mutual friends. We met in 1998. So we've been together quite a while, many decades, a lifetime at this point. And one of our mutual friends is a gamer, a movie buff. I trust this guy when it comes to movie lines. Like, this guy knows. He probably knows all the names of all the songs, the lyrics. You know, he's one of those guys. And I'm one of the people that I never remember the name of the song. I never get the lyrics right. I always mess up the words. So I don't trust myself when it comes to the words sometimes. This guy, I had a conversation with him many years ago about the Mandela effect with Star Wars. And he claims that people are remembering it incorrectly. He stands firm. He understands the Mandela effect. And he stands firm and he says that he never says Luke. That he says, I am your father.
No, I am your father.
So he stands firm on this. There are people, it's interesting, they really fall on one side or the other. And I believe it's because that's what they remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in some cases, neither side is wrong. I think in some cases, there has been a timeline shift. Like something has changed. Some people, like you're saying, they remember news articles. I remember Nelson Mandela's funeral being broadcast on the news. I remember the wreaths. I remember it being a big deal. I had a storyline about him in my mind. When I found out that he was still alive, I was shocked. Seriously, it was like, I am not wrong. I remember. It would be like, Princess Diana, not happening, right? In Paris, in the tunnel, her losing her life in that tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it would be like. For me, I was convinced I remembered that. And so I do think some of this is a timeline shift. Now, how they're doing that and who's doing that, or it could be a combination of. So what's the mirror, mirror on the wall?
Well, as far as I've always known, and I would have assumed everybody would have known that it was mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all, I believe. That's not it at all. It's magic mirror on the wall.
Magic mirror on the wall. So no mirror, mirror on the wall. I would actually put money on mirror, mirror on the wall. That's how convinced I am. Like,
yeah, that seems pretty solid to me.
I mean, growing up, born in the early 70s, you know, this stuff was our childhood. This stuff, it's ingrained in us. It's part of us. And so to say it's now magic mirror.
But to twist your mind up a little bit, let's say we've never even heard of the Mandela effect. We've never heard of any of these examples at all. If you were to grab a Berenstain book, would it say Berenstain or would it be what you remember it to be?
Oh.
It's never been introduced that something could be changed.
Okay, so for example, my eyesight. I have always had 20/20 vision. You handed me a pair of readers, I don't know, a few years back, in line at a store, like a little store, convenience store. And you go, oh, look how clear these are. Here, look. And when I looked through the readers, oh my goodness, everything was crisp and clear. I took the readers off. Everything was then blurry from that moment forward.
Same happened to me.
That second before I put the readers on, I had 20/20 vision. The minute I put the readers on, I no longer in my brain had 20/20 vision. Now I could see that I had a vision issue. That is absolutely truthful.
My whole introduction to this Mandela effect had to do with that. It was another Mandela effect, the JFK thing. And I don't remember the story exactly, but it had to do with how many seats were in the car. Was there 3 rows of seats? Was there 2 rows of seats? And it was a husband and wife that were discussing it. I think they were not necessarily having an argument, but a disagreement about it. And they went and grabbed a magazine, and they found the magazine, and they opened it up, and they saw how many seats were in the car. And one of the two was just confused by it, like, this just doesn't make sense. It has to be this. I remember it having 2 seats. No, it has 3 seats. So they had this idea, let's send the magazine to our mom, and we won't say anything. We'll just send it to her. Let her look at it. And then we'll just ask her how many seats are in the car. And so they did that, and it was different than what they remembered. I might have that story a little jumbled up.
She saw something different.
Yeah, that's kind of what spurred this on for me. It was like, wait a second, how could it be one thing, but it be a different thing? And they both seen that it was just a really strange like dynamic to me, and that's what got me getting into this. It was like, wait, whoa.
Some people are seeing one thing and some people are seeing another thing.
Yes. And that example, if I'm telling the story right, it was a real-time situation where it hadn't changed yet because the grandmother didn't know about Mandela effect, didn't know about the change, didn't know.
They didn't even tell her. It was an experiment. They didn't even tell her.
And it dumbfounded them. And if I remember right, they told her, and when she went back and looked at the magazine had changed.
Yeah. So what's in your awareness, your consciousness? So when we see something, we actually see it in the back of our brain. So the vision isn't necessarily coming from the actual eyes in the front. We're actually processing and seeing from the back of our brain. So it's going through this field. I mean, your vision and your eyesight, that is an amazing thing to research, the biology of how you perceive and receive. And I think that might play into this Mandela effect, but also your pineal gland sitting right in the center of your brain, crystals in your pineal gland. So a healthy pineal gland is part of your sight, your insight, and it's part of the inner ear, the cerebellum, the equilibrium, all of that. And it's how you process. It's the whole headspace. And then if you think about the throat, the mouth, how you vocalize that, and how every time you speak, you're sending out waves and frequency through the air. And so if you're seeing yourself as this living, breathing experience, like you're part of this earth experience, you're part of the happenings, you're part of it all. And even how you perceive and receive is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how we can all kind of watch the same thing and perceive it and receive it differently. You know, so that there's that at play.
Absolutely.
But then there is 100% the question, are things being altered and changed? Because when I saw the Mandela effect, I saw in 2015, and I have a photo of this. It was kind of like your Bernstein Bears, because, you know, spelling for me is a challenge. Words are a challenge. They're not my first language. It's energy for me. I always feel energy vibration first, that gut instinct.
That's where I complete you.
Yeah. He's the wordsmith. He's the word master. It's amazing. So Braggs, B-R-A-G-G-S, Braggs. I remember when I was introduced, I went through a healing. I went through 7 years of healing myself from head to toe with top doctors and everything. Mike was part of it. He did the same thing. It was truly amazing. Our son. And part of that journey was our food and healing our gut and what we put in and on our bodies. And so apple cider vinegar was kind of the staple that we needed to embrace on many levels for many different things. I mean, apple cider vinegar, I could go on and on with all of the benefits of that. Well, there's a mother, the culture in the apple cider vinegar called the mother, that makes apple cider vinegar as magical and powerful. And it's a healer. It's truly magical apple cider vinegar, but they're not all made the same. And so Braggs was known, talk about bragging, pun intended. They were known for the very best apple cider vinegar with the mother. And they had this amazing story, this family business. And I started researching about where our food was coming from and the farms. I just really wanted to understand food quality. And so I researched. I went down that rabbit hole and I found out all sorts of things about different companies, manufacturer, what was happening with food. And Braggs was part of my journey. It was part of the discovery. And I remember when I came across Braggs, I couldn't understand why they had the S in it and the pluralness of Braggs. And I just remember it being awkward. Like, why was it called that? And it's a family name. It was the Braggs family. And so it was called Braggs with an S for the family. It was their family product. And it was the best of the best. So in 2015, we actually moved out of the busy city and manifested this very sweet, wonderful, quiet life that we have now. And being travelers, and we are travelers, we mine crystals and we're about to start mining gold. And so we moved out of the city. And when we did, we started shopping at new small town grocery stores. And so there was this little natural grocers. And I was getting to know at the time in 2015 where everything was and their products, because it was just my neighborhood little country store. Everything else I had to drive back to the city. So I'm telling you the story because I remember knowing the story of Braggs, understanding why they labeled it Braggs, why it was called that. And then I actually learned everything that was going on with their labels. Their labels are packed with information. And so I spent time on that. It was part of my healing journey. And then it was part of me moving and shopping at this new store. And so I remember all of a sudden noticing that Braggs no longer had an S on it. It was just Bragg. B-R-A-G-G. There was no S.
Mind blown.
And I say to my husband, oh my goodness, this is a real-time Mandela effect. I know it's Braggs with an S. And he goes, yes, it is. And I go, where's the S? I start pointing it out to him. He's like, oh my goodness. And so we start looking for bottles with the S on it. Like every time we would go to the store, we saw it in real time when this happened in 2015. And I'm going to be honest, it was probably around August 2015. I mean, that's how aware of this I was. So I bring it to his attention. He starts looking through all the bottles every time we go to a store. Sure enough, we go one day and they have at this tiny little natural grocer's in our little country town, this display of Bragg's apple cider vinegar in these boxes, and they were stacked up, and there was a handwritten sign on the display. The handwritten sign was spelled with an S. I have a picture of it. I'm going to post it on X and on Patreon. The bottles with the handwritten sign do not have an S on them, but the handwritten sign has an S. Whoever wrote that sign remembered Bragg's with an S. Now, I'll be honest with you. You know, here we are in 2014. There's still no S on Bragg. But it's always Bragg's to me, right? So vibrationally, something happened with Bragg's for me. When I noticed that, I don't know if I was just suspicious, like my gut instinct. I'm not sure what happened for me, but I really just wasn't into their products anymore. And I love their salad dressing, but something seemed off when I noticed that shift. So I really haven't bought any of that anymore, and I'm shifting out of that. And as I was telling my husband about this, he decides to do what he does best, which is to research and find out the root origin. So he jumps in and he finds out that Katy Perry and other Hollywood people bought Bragg's. They bought it. There was a change in ownership. The Bragg's family that I researched about and knew about, they didn't own it anymore. How the timing of this, the S disappears. And the S was part of the family story. That's why it was named that. And then Katy Perry and people from Hollywood buy Bragg's, and they change it, but they don't change it. And so this brings up the idea of CERN. Now, it might be a little conspiracy theorist when I talk about celebrities and CERN and changing things and timelines, but it is all connected. I mean, the Hollywood, the celebrities, it's part of the politics. It's part of the narrative. You know, I mean, most in Hollywood aren't there because of talent. We're seeing more and more of this with the Epstein list. I mean, Hugh Hefner was the original Epstein construct, all about blackmail. And Hollywood's part of this. Children, unfortunately, are a part of this, unfortunately. And so there is something going on with Mandela effect and timelines and things changing. And, you know, again, not to be conspiracy theorist here, but Katy Perry is known. She's been in the halftime Super Bowl shows, which are an absolute satanic ritual to their goat god. We all know this. You see the symbolism. And she has a video and a song about cannibalism and people eating her. You know, I mean, she tells the story. And most of these artists and celebrities are telling the story of what's happening, but people don't believe it. Like SNL, you know, they want to normalize it. They want to make jokes out of it. It's nothing to laugh at. It's not comedy. They put it right out in front of us, but it's so horrible, we don't want to believe it's true. And so there's a lot of stuff with Katy Perry. I mean, even with her parents, super religious and pastors, and then, you know, her career and what's been going on there. I mean, just look at her performances. Look at her videos. Look at the symbols. Look what she's singing about and saying. And so for her and these Hollywood people to be buying wellness and well-being companies, and then all of a sudden there's a Mandela effect name change, I think that's suspicious. But it does feel like conspiracy theory. But, you know, isn't it interesting how many conspiracy theories have been proven to be true recently?
They're definitely not the exception anymore.
Yeah. So This is why we want to have a conversation with everybody, because there's a lot going on here, a lot at play when you talk about mandala effect. You know, is it a memory thing? Is it a timeline change? Is there a manipulation? Because CERN is this underground super collider, and it's probably not the only one. But it is about opening portals, gateways. It is about parallel realities. It is about manipulating time and space, time, temporal. So is there experimentation with changing names? I'm sure. I mean, don't you think that would be like the number one way to experiment with time travel or timeline change?
Oh, absolutely. Y'all can go onto YouTube and look up a guy named Gordy Rose. He was one of the financiers of the first quantum computer, Deep Blue, I believe was the name of it. And listen to what he has to say about alternate timelines and what they were doing.
So I think a lot of Mandela effect is experimentation with that. Absolutely. So those of you that have listened to my podcast, my Earth timeline, my take on Atlantis, I believe that during the Atlantis times, 11,600 years ago, the fall of Atlantis, when you look at the eye of the Sahara, the Rikat structure, and then you look at the other side of the planet from that eye of the Sahara, the same thing that happened to Atlantis happened on the other side of the planet. It was like an access thing. And I believe that Atlantis was a higher dimensional time on planet Earth, probably fifth, sixth dimensional. And the humans were the technology, but there were some people in Atlantis that were doing the super collider, the CERN thing, you know, trying to tap into this, the ether and the technology. You know, the humans, we are the gateway. We're more powerful than the quantum computer, but people want to push the technology. And when they do that, it affects everybody else. And so we've heard about them ripping the fabric of time and space, opening portals. You know, opening portals to what? In my portal podcast, we talk about where does that portal go? The portal is the gateway, the entrance, the doorway. That's why these podcasts are a portal. It's an invitation to step through, to think into this thought experiment you go so you can feel through it yourself and to have conversations that we need to be having. I love having conversations that we should all be having. This should be a mainstream conversation. If we could all share our experience and what we're feeling about the Mandela effect, we can pull on all the threads and weave together a bigger picture of what's going on. I just think there's so much at play and there's so much we don't know. And then a lot of humans just give away their power and don't realize that they're a powerful gateway. And your psychic abilities, your intuition, they're more powerful than the super collider. You can open gateways and portals through your meditation, through your dreams, through your daydreams. Nikola Tesla spoke on repeat about tapping into the ether, the zero point where all the free energy is. There's wisdom, intelligence, resources to tap into. That's that quantum energy, the quantum physics, the quantum mechanics, and your biology is part of that. So I don't want anybody feeling like they're a victim to Hollywood or Mandela effect or CERN. We are not in a victim state here with this. By discussing it, this is clarity. This is knowing. We take our power back and can rise up out of this. So I don't feel a victim to the Mandela effect. I feel more of, ooh, what a rabbit hole of discovery. I want to know what's going on here.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be really interesting to hear other people's stories and if there's anything new that can be brought to light, and maybe we'll witness a Mandela effect in all of our discussions. It'd be fun.
That's why everybody's invited. I would love to have a sequel to this. Maybe we'll have a prequel. And a sequel. I would love to hear from you. Mike would love to hear from you. We want to know your experiences. We only touched on a few. There's so many. So the door is open. Bring us your stories. Bring us your experience. We would love to hear from you. And I want to personally thank every single one of you that have given a 5-star rating for these podcasts. I want to thank every single one of you in the Patreon 1111 membership portal. It is so much fun to have others along for this ride and the discovery of it all. These are powerfully shifting times on planet Earth, and there is a purge. There's a healing. There's a falling away of the heaviness, but there's also the truth coming to the surface. And I think this Mandela effect is part of the truth coming forward. I want to know more. I want to get to the bottom of this.
I do too. I think it's a good rabbit hole, if you will, to go down for sure.
Okay. So before we go, Mike, are we missing, is there any other Mandela effects that we didn't bring forward that we need to before we go?
The last thing I would say is, in your past memories, did the Fruit of a Loom logo have a cornucopia? We'll leave it at that.
Fruit of a Loom, the underwear, the cornucopia. You know, this might age us a little bit too. This might be an age thing. So here's the invitation. If you're a Gen Z, if you're a millennial, I don't know if we have any alphas listening. You guys are still young. A different vibration, though. I love me some alphas. You guys are a different vibration. If you are young and you don't know about Fruit of a Loom underwear, you don't even know Fruit of a Loom underwear, call parents, call aunts and uncles, call grandparents. This would just be a fun experiment, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Call them. Don't tell them about the Mandela effect. Just say, hey, listen, did you ever wear Fruit of a Loom underwear? Do you know about Fruit of a Loom underwear? Did it have a cornucopia on it? Or maybe they have an old pair with a cornucopia on it. Hey, do you have some old Fruit of a Loom underwear with a cornucopia on it? Because the cornucopia, it's not there anymore. So, yeah, this is a matter of your underwear now, getting back to the undies. Okay.
I think it's a perfect way to leave it.
I do, too. That'll be a fun experiment. So, you guys have fun with this. We'll see you in the next one. Thanks for being here.